So Sophie, can you tell us a bit about your research in West Papua, specifically like the communities you've been working with?
Sure. So over the last decade or so, I've been doing field work in the Indonesian-controlled region of West Papua among an indigenous community known as the Marind or Marind Anim peoples, who inhabit the southern lowlands and coastlands of Papua. These communities are primarily dependent on the forest for their daily subsistence, and so they've been very dramatically affected by ongoing deforestation and monocrop oil palm expansion in the region over the last decade.
Right. So if we're looking at the relationship between these communities and the environment, how does this relate to their food system and beliefs? As you said, they're dependent upon it, but how does, you know, can you expand upon that a little bit?
Sure. So during my fieldwork in West Papua, one of the most interesting findings was the way in which these indigenous communities think about and relate to their environment as very much a living, conscious, sentient sort of realm inhabited by plants and animals whom Marind consider to be their kin, whom they can talk about as siblings, as grandparents, and with whom they entertain these historical and ongoing relationships of kinship that are profoundly culturally shaped and emotionally charged. So when you eat foods that come from plants and animals that you consider to be kin, that you consider to be sentient, it really changes the way you think about this food as not just nutritional, but also nourishing, because it's very much culturally embedded. Eating plants and animals makes people think about their pasts, about their history, about their myths, about their shared relationships to these non-human plant and animal kin.
So then given this sort of profound relationship with the forest and their, you know, food systems, how, what kind of, you know, impact have these palm oil plantations and deforestation had upon them? It must be quite severe.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these radical landscape conversions that are very much driven by the Indonesian government and by corporations in the name of national food security and food sovereignty have resulted in very widespread local food insecurity among the indigenous groups that are living on the land being targeted for agribusiness development. Now, these transformations are twofold. On the one hand, you have the loss or the severance of communities from these living forest environments that are very much central to their cultural life world and well-being. And at the same time, you have the substitution of forest foods with processed imported commodities, things like rice, instant noodles, biscuits, foods that many indigenous Marind consider to be tasteless, bland, and far from nutritional, precisely because they don't sustain the same kind of connections to the plants and animals from whom these foods derive. So you have the dilution of a culturally meaningful, effectively charged, morally meaningful forest-based food system with what Marwin called city foods, foods that are deprived of these kinds of meanings, and that also many Marwin associate with the Indonesian state, the Indonesian government, who in many ways is considered to be a colonizing force that perpetuates all kinds of racial, cultural, and economic discrimination in this particular part of the Indonesian archipelago.
Now, has there been any consideration made by the Indonesian government for the health and well-being of these communities that are being affected?
So the way in which the government and the corporations working with the government think about, you know, food, health, nutritional diet, and so on for indigenous Marind is very much embedded in a sort of developmental discourse or rhetoric that positions Marind as primitive peoples in need of development, in need of a move towards a modernized way of life in order to somewhat free them from their dependence on the forest, which is very much cast in a highly racialized way as primitive. And this is not just the case for Marind. It is a prevalent perception across the whole of West Papua, this idea that Papuans need the government to develop them, to civilize them. And so unfortunately, that's the kind of framing in which the dilution of indigenous food systems is being cast by a government.
So then as we move forward, we can kind of expect this sort of development and impact to sort of just go on more or less unchecked. Like, it's not like they're going to change their approach in the near future.
Unfortunately, I'm not seeing any changes in the near future. You know, the geopolitics of West Papua also means that it's very, very difficult to actually obtain information or data from the ground. It's a part of the world that continues to be out of bounds to our researchers and to journalists. It's practically impossible to get a research permit to go there. So the fact that we're unable to actually know what's going on the ground, I was lucky enough to be able to spend time out there, does mean that there's very little chance of external research or governmental influence to try to change this kind of very colonial and prejudiced development rhetoric that is at the heart of many of these development programs.
Well, it's certainly not an uplifting sort of situation to have, but thank you so much for joining us this morning to tell us about it.
My pleasure.